Pleased now to be joined by Brandon Marcello with 247 Sports, their national college football reporter. Brandon, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for joining us. Gosh, if I'm not mistaken, I believe I remember seeing you down at the SEC spring meetings. We don't get to go down there again for the second year in a row, do we?
No, it's been a while. You know, it's been 2 years, I guess. It's kind of crazy. I do wonder if we'll ever see Destin again for the spring meetings. I wonder if they'll just do all this virtually and maybe in person in Birmingham from now on.
Gosh, I hope not. I've enjoyed my trips to Destin. That's a bad idea. I do want to ask you this. So I saw an article that you wrote where you rated first-year coaches who you think will be the most successful. Give me your criteria on how you selected these coaches. What was the makeup of that?
Yeah, what I did is I took – these aren't like coaches that are like, oh, this guy's going to win double digits. This is expectations within the own program and whether they can meet those or maybe exceed them considering the circumstances they inherit. So, obviously – like a Will Hall at Southern Miss, a little bit different there than, say, you know, Gus Malzahn maybe at UCF or Andy Avalos, obviously at Boise State, where they're accustomed to winning double-digit games or at least 8 or 9 games a year. So that was kind of the criteria I utilized. And considering those circumstances within each program, I picked the 10 top 10 guys of these first-year coaches that I think will end up having the most success their first year.
I'm sure everybody on Twitter agreed with your opinions, right? That's the way I use the words.
Oh, of course, man. Always.
You had Malzahn number one. So he goes to Central Florida, inherits a pretty good situation, left behind by Josh Heupel, who's at Tennessee. Why did you take Malzahn number one there?
Yeah, like you said, it's a pretty cush gig considering the circumstances. I mean, he comes in, he gets Dylan Gabriel. That quarterback, I mean, goodness gracious, they're pretty loaded. I think they might drop off a little bit, actually, in 2022, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. He comes into a situation where, listen, last year was a little bit of a disappointment, but also it was a weird year just because of COVID, but also some injuries they underwent. But he returns a lot of talent there, and he's a guy that, for whatever reason, even since he was in high school, when he goes into a job his first year, like that excitement – and the newness to it all, he always gets those teams to kind of overperform from their expectations. And the most recent one was, of course, 2013 at Auburn when he took them to the national championship game after losing like 10 or 11, maybe 12 SEC games in a row. So it'll be interesting to watch what he does there. But, you know, the transfer portal is kind of where he's making his hay and filling some spots here in the early going of his tenure. He got former players for him at Auburn and Nate Craig Myers, a receiver, running back Mark Anthony Richards, to fill some holes. And, you know, listen, that offense ranked 8th nationally in points per game last season. And I don't know if they'll get back up to that point this upcoming year, but they scored 35 points a game this season in the AAC. They'll be challenging for double-digit wins once again.
Brennan, you have Josh Heupel outside of the top 10 at 13. Is a big part of that the expectations that come with this Tennessee job, regardless of what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those situations where, I mean, sometimes you lose sight of things when you're not focusing on the horizon a little bit, looking far in the distance, because for Tennessee right now, that's where fans should be looking, is to the horizon in the future, 2-3 years down the road, especially with this NCAA cloud hanging over the program and what they're trying to figure out at quarterback. I mean, they obviously have no idea what they're going to do at quarterback right now after just trying to go after Joe Mixon there from Michigan. So all that said, fans probably expect somehow, some way for them to be above 500 this upcoming season. I don't see that happening. I think it'll maybe be close if they can overperform a little bit. There's just too much going on right now, and then with the roster and trying to figure out the quarterback situation. But I'm sure some Tennessee fans would sit there and go, well, the quarterback situation obviously has to be better than it has been the last 2 or 3 years. Well, not so fast. I mean, you know, Josh Heupel's obviously not, you know, sold on who's going to be the quarterback right now, and I think that's a big reason why he went after Joe Mixon at Michigan.
Well, this might be more of a bigger picture thought on the two coaches, but who do you think upgraded their head coaching situation more, Tennessee with Heupel from Pruitt or UCF going to Malzahn from Heupel?
Man, that's a great question. I'm going to go with Heupel because you know, Heupel at Tennessee, because you're looking at a situation where Heupel's still early in his career as a head coach. I've always liked him and saw what he's able to do just with the offenses. I mean, everybody there at Tennessee knows what he did at Mizzou and getting that offense back on its feet and becoming one of the top offenses in the country. And then UCF to come in after Scott Frost, where easily someone could have fell on their face a little bit, and he didn't. He kept it going. And he kept scoring points, which is what he's known for. So I think with Tennessee, you're getting a coach who is still early in his career, is still learning some things, but is obviously still successful early in that tenure. With Gus Malzahn, I mean, you could look at the resume and everything and say, hey, you know, this guy has more credentials, obviously. He's played for national championships and all that. But, you know, let's face it, his last 3 years or 2.5 years, I should say, at Auburn were very stale, very predictable on offense, and the recruiting started going down a little bit, and it makes you wonder if he's in the twilight of his career. Now, the other storyline with that is, well, Gus Malzahn was being hampered by, you know, people behind the scenes and what he could or could not do, including with play calling. But at some point, a coach, when they're a coach, they lose that edge a little bit. And, you know, there's that question with Gus Malzahn. I mean, he's been a Power 5 head coach, you know, for 8 seasons, and maybe that was all that was really – we've seen the best out of him already, whereas with Heupel, I think the best is yet to come.
Our guest, Brandon Marcella with 247 Sports. Brandon, you've got Clark Lee, first-year coach, Vanderbilt number 6 versus Heupel. What do you see out of Vanderbilt in his first year under Lee?
Well, I see a win. after going 0-9, it's kind of incredible. As much as we look at Vanderbilt and go, man, that program has historically been bad, but that was the first winless season for them in a long, or I guess it was the first ever, but if I go back and look, but and the first by an SEC team since 1999 when South Carolina finished winless. So for Vanderbilt, I mean, listen, this is not going to be a gig where he's automatically winning 5 or 6 games, or even 4 games. I think they win maybe 2 or 3 this year, which would be a marked improvement from last season. Even with, you know, listen, the non-conference season coming back into it, which offers some more winnable games. But for Clark Lee and Vanderbilt, that's a job much like Heupel at Tennessee, where you're not really going to be able to judge the job he's doing until probably year 3, which a lot of coaches could say that and would want that, but in the SEC, you don't get that. Unless it's just completely dire circumstances like Vanderbilt's in right now. So I think they win 2 or 3 games, which the expectations going in would probably be 1 or 2 games. Maybe he exceeds that a little bit, and it doesn't sound like much, but winning 3 games is a lot different than winning just 1 game or even 2 games, because that means you're potentially going in there and maybe knocking off an SEC team or two. But maybe they even go above that 3 win. Who knows?
You got Brian Harrison at number 5. He's at Auburn. Do you have him rated that high because you like him as a coach, or do you think he inherits a pretty good situation at Auburn?
Yeah, he's a great coach, number 1, but also he's got a pretty good defense with him. And with Derek Mason leading that group, I think they're going to do pretty well defensively. I mean, you could say what you want about him at Vanderbilt, including, you know, the defenses he put together those last couple of years, but all the reviews I keep hearing from people there is that he's done a fantastic job of putting the players in the right spot. Their one weakness right now might be in the middle of the defensive line, but they've got some really dynamic playmakers, including Derek Hall as a pass rusher, and they got some very good linebackers. And then offensively, I kind of look at it like this. I think that offense last season was the worst it could have been considering the pieces they had. And it was part of the reason why Gus Malzahn got fired. Not that he won 6 games, but that the offense just looked completely stale and had made no improvements under Bo Nix those first couple of years. And plus, and add to that, it may have actually gotten worse. With Brian Harsin, they're going to be a little bit multiple with Mike Bobo calling the plays, but Harsin's going to be in control of that offense. They're changing things around. And more importantly, Bo Nix is being reprogrammed in a way that will make him a better quarterback just by default, because really it was almost like, you know, it's like trying to teach a kid to play catch and having one throw with him outside as your dad, and then leaving him on his own going, if you figure the rest out. That's kind of the situation Bo Nix was in, because he didn't get a lot of development under Gus Malzahn those first 2 years, and Harsin and Bobo have been, goodness gracious, they've been all over him to kind of improve. So I think that they're going to perhaps exceed some expectations, which for them would probably be maybe 6 wins this year. That should probably be the expectation. I think they could win 7, maybe 8 games.
Brandon, you have one-time Tennessee coach Butch Jones at Arkansas State at number 9. How quickly do you think Butch Jones will succeed and maybe compete for conference titles there at Arkansas State?
You know, here's the interesting thing. When people think of Arkansas State from the outside, they think, wow, that team has been very successful in recent years. And that's very true. They've won a couple of Sun Belt titles under Blake Anderson. But here's the thing. They were pretty bad last season. Even with the win at Kansas State, the rest of the season was just kind of a disaster for them. And they had a big-time receiver that really kept them afloat. If they didn't have that, that team would have looked pretty bad if you watched them up close. So if you're an Arkansas State fan that looks at the inner expectations, the expectations would be, well, wow, this is not just we're trying to come off a losing season, but we're also coming in with a new coach and a new philosophy in some ways. But Harsin, you know, with Butch Jones, he had to go through 2 offensive coordinators there and end up settling on their previous offensive coordinator. And the previous offensive coordinator there at Arkansas State was pretty successful, except for last season. So I think there's some consistency there. They can come in. I think they'll get to a bowl game. I don't think they'll challenge for the Sun Belt title this year. But when you look at recent history for them, this wasn't a team last year that was built to really contend for a Sun Belt title, despite maybe the outsiders just thinking Arkansas State should maybe be in that conversation every year. I don't think they'll be in the conversation this year, but they'll probably get back up to that area of maybe winning 7 or 8 games.
Hey, Brandon, thank you so much for joining us. Really do appreciate it. Enjoyed your piece on first-year coaches who you see will be the most successful. And hopefully we'll get a chance to visit with you again sometime in the future.
Thanks, Brandon.
All right, sounds good. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Brandon. Brandon Marcello with 247 Sports, their national college football reporter.